إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our ninth session, reading from the classical book of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, Yani al-Aqidah wasatiyyah, and we have been reading from the final two chapters of this book. And Yani the general topic of our class is the way of Ahl Sunnah, Yani in actions, in reference to actions. And tonight, inshallah, we'd like to talk about a very, very important topic. That Yani is critical for every Muslim, and I'm not going to say much more than that. The time is upon us, so Yani, let's immediately Yani begin to review what we covered last week and look at this very, very important topic that we're going to discuss tonight. Okay, so from last week, question and study guide number 8, the first question mentioned the fourth statement of the author, Yani Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, related to an-nasiha. And what is meant by yadinuna? Yani, what was the statement from the text of the book? The fourth statement of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah. Naam. Wa yadinuna bin nasihati lil ummah. Meaning? They worship Allah by giving advice to the ummah. Naam. Yeah, what is meant by yadinuna? Now, yadinuna means that yani bin nasiha means that they worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of giving yani nasiha to the ummah, and they believe that yani ya'taqid. They believe in their aqidah, in their heart, they believe that this is deen. Yani, to give advice is deen. Yani, it's not just yani a social yani activity or something that, you know, appears to be nice or good, but it is deen. The second question mentions some of the motivations for which one might offer an nasiha, other than as a means of worshiping Allah. Yani, some other reasons why people might give nasiha, and I'm sure.
It's an honorable thing.
What? Honorable. Naam. As an honorable thing, yani, it's just something of good character. People might think this is good, yani.
Fear of
punishment. Maybe to advise somebody, yani, to be careful with their behavior because they might be punished for it.
Like interest of the people of a virtuous characteristic.
Naam. As a virtuous characteristic, in the interest of the people, trying to benefit the people. Sheikh mentioned one more thing. Naam. Characteristics of nobility, naam, yani in different words, yani mentioned, naam, al-ghira, yani that a person might advise someone, they might advise Muslims or an individual Muslim out of ghira, because of their, yani, love and respect for the deen and their, yani, concern, naam, for the deen, naam. As an honorable thing? Yani, Allahu alam, yani, what exactly what he means by an honorable thing. But yani, the Shaykh mentioned that a person might give advice, yani, due to trying to yani be characterized with the characteristics, noble characteristics, yani, given advice, this is a good thing. But here, ghira, it really means that a person has love and care and concern for the deen. And out of that love for the deen, they might advise. They might give advice just out of love for the deen, because they see somebody doing something they shouldn't be doing. Or they see somebody abandoning something that they should be doing. So out of love for the deen, they might advise them. But not necessarily, yani, having at the core, base of it, that it is, yani, this is an act of worship. This is an act of worship. And that is really the core, the key of what the Shaykh is saying here, that the intention has to be clear why you're doing it. Not just because it's a noble thing or it's a good character, a characteristic of goodness, but rather because this is your way of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Question number 3, mention the hadith of Tamim ibn Aus al-Dari radiallahu anhu, showing the great importance of an-nasiha in Islam. The hadith of Tamim ibn Aus al-Dari. Now, anybody memorize this hadith? Now, Muhammad. Ad-din al-nasiha. Ad-din al-nasiha. Now, rest of the hadith, anybody? After this? قلنا وقالوا لمن different narrations لمن يا رسول الله نعم and he said يعني for who they said who يعني for who is this or we said for who is this يعني نسيه يا رسول الله and he said it is for Allah and for the book of Allah and for the messenger of Allah and for the leaders of the Muslims and the general masses of Muslims. And question number 4, discuss briefly what is meant by an-nasiha for Allah and an-nasiha for His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sa'id. Naam, being sincere and truthful in seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani sidq al-talab fi wusul ila Allah. Naam, and somebody else, nasiha for the Messenger of Allah. Naam, Abdullah.
Being truthful.
Being truthful, yani صدق الاتباع لرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning being sincere and truthful in following, in obeying the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. And question number 5, discuss briefly what is meant by النصيحة for Al-Quran, mentioning 2 of its aspects. النصيحة يعني لكتاب الله. Anybody in the back, far, left? Right in the corner, I can see you. Abdul Haq, now. النصيحة لكتاب الله.
The speech of Allah, created, and it is obligatory to believe in it and adhere to its rulings.
نعم, يعني clarifying that it's the speech of Allah, يعني that it's revealed, that it's not created, and also that it's obligatory to believe in what we are informed of in the Quran, and then to comply with its ahkam, its rulings, to live by it, to apply it, and to have this aqeedah, yani to believe this in one's heart, not just acting upon it, but actually, yani that action should be based upon the aqeedah, the belief that one holds in the heart. Question number 6, discuss what is meant by a'imma of the Muslims. What is meant by a'immatul muslimin? With examples of what is meant by imam am and imam khas. What do we mean by a'immatul muslimin? What does this mean? A'imma. A'immatul muslimin. Naam, Waleed. The leaders, the imams of the Muslims, naam?
Those who are in charge of people, the leaders, and then...
Those who are in charge of people, in charge of any affair of the Muslim. Whoever Allah has placed in charge of any affair of the affairs of the Muslims, that person is the imam in that affair that he's in charge of, over the Muslims, whatever it might be, naam. Imam am, imam khas. What do we mean by this? Naam, Muhammad.
General imam and
particular, you said? Huh? General Imam, I didn't hear, I'm sorry.
Imam is general, and then Imam Khas is something in particular.
Something in particular, okay. So, examples of this, what do you mean by Imam? What exactly does that mean? What does that mean? Naam, follow.
Imam Khas
is... Imam Am.
This is the general, this is like the ruler.
Okay, the ruler, the head of the state, the head of the government. This is Imam Am, the head of the whole government, the head of the state. Imam Khas, what do you mean by Imam Khas, Naam?
Particular Imam,
yani?
For example, the Imam of the Masjid.
Imams of the Masajid, governors,
ministers,
Mudir, head of something, any agency, organization, whatever, Naam. Yani, Khas means that a person is Imam over a particular area. He's the Amir, the Wazir, the Mudir, whatever, like these people under, they have limited special yani duties or responsibilities. Now, question number 7, what is the mizan or the scale with which one may determine if one's nasiha to the people is correct and sincere? And mention the hadith. What is the mizan to examine a person's nasiha to the people? That is, now, Mustafa, huh?
It's when you love for your brother, but you love for yourself.
Yani, when you love for your brother, but you love for yourself. Meaning, How do you apply that to this? How do you apply it as a scale? Now, okay, you don't have complete and perfect humanity. You love for your brother what you love for yourself. Okay,
how? How would you feel if that was about you? So, you love for yourself, the way you want to be treated, the way you want to be dealt with, and something that you do in any affair, whether you did something wrong or how to give nasiha, etc. How do you want to be treated is the way that you would treat your brother.
Okay, so you treat your brother the same way you want to be treated. Yani, you're not a believer, complete and perfect humanity, you love for your brother what you love for yourself. So the point is, the same, when you want to treat somebody a certain way, ask yourself, would I like to be treated like this? If you wouldn't like to be treated like this, don't treat your brother like this. Yani, the scale is what? Yani, this hadith tells us that you don't really have the correct iman until you love for your brother what you love for yourself. The way you love for yourself to be treated, that's the way you have to treat other people. You have to ask yourself when you treat other people, is this something that I would be pleased to be treated like this? And this is important for us in our general dealings with everybody, not just nasiha, but in our dealings with the people. Treat people the way you want to be treated. Naam, I'm sorry, your name, Akhi?
Abdul Rahman.
Abdul Rahman,
naam.
I didn't hear what he said.
Mu'min mir'atu akhi.
Oh, mir'at, okay, naam. I hear it is a little bit bad, you're kind of far away. The believer is the mirror for his brother. Yeah. Yani, and the Shaykh mentions this under the part we're going to come to, inshallah, as we go along. Naam. Question number 8. Memorize the hadith comparing the believers in their relationship to one another, to a firmly constructed building. Memorize. Somebody memorize. Naam. First, Abdul Rahman. Taib, that's the meaning of it. Somebody else. Naam, go ahead. Jayid, somebody else. Anybody else? Naam. Huh? same hadith now, but still there's more to the hadith. There's still, the hadith not finished yet. Now, Muhammad. Now, al-mu'minu lil-mu'mini kal-bunyan yashaddu ba'duhu ba'da. Then, shabbaka bayna asabi'ihi. That's the end of the hadith. And it's two parts to the hadith. That's what I was trying to get to the end of it. Last part. Okay, so the meaning of this is what? That the Prophet ﷺ said that the believer to another believer is like a bunyan, a well-structured, cemented, solid building. يَشُدُّ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. Each part of it supports the other part. Yani, the parts work together to make the whole structure firm by supporting one another. Each part supports the other part. And then the Prophet ﷺ demonstrated this and further emphasized it by saying what? By intertwining his fingers together to show how they became strong by coming together. Naam. Discuss the similitude intended in above hadith along with its confirmation and demonstration by interlacing the fingers. What is the similitude, the parable or the example of the Prophet? What is the meaning of this comparison? The Prophet ﷺ saying that the believer to the believer is like a well cemented structure. What is the meaning of this? Naam, Abdul Kareem.
No. When the hands are together,
okay, when the hands are together, when the fingers are intertwined, interlaced, then they become strong, as opposed to when they're separate, there's weakness in them. No. What's the first part of the hadith? Somebody else. First part of the hadith. That's the second part of the hadith. First part of it. Anybody? Uh-huh. Kalbunyan. What's the meaning of this comparison, this similitude? Now,
solid building, solid structure.
Okay, solid build. That's the wording of it. But what does it mean? Yani, in what way are the believers like a solid structure? In what way are they like that?
المؤمن المؤمن للمؤمن كالبنيان بمعنى أن المؤمن إذا تعاون مع أخيه فيكون بناء محكما.
نعم. يعني if the people work together and cooperate with one another, help one another and support one another, and strengthen one another, and they become like يعني a strong cemented structure by working together, cooperating with one another, supporting one another, holding one another together. يعني aiding and assisting one another. يعني if the believer sees the other believer has some defect, he helps to fix it. If he sees that he has some need or she, then he fulfills their need. If the believer is sick, then the Muslim visits the sick and so on like this. This is how they help and support one another so that they become yani strong all together. Yani naam. This meaning in this hadith or this comparison is implemented, practiced by the people who really have iman. Last question, discuss the similitude intended in the final hadith related to the believers being like one body. First of all, what is the hadith? Even just the general meaning of the hadith, the believers being like one body. What is that hadith? Naam, Abu Bakr.
Ishtaka
minhu?
Tada'a.
بالسحري هم نعم يعني the beginning of the hadith نعم this one line in the beginning anybody know the first part he missed the first part نعم 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 This hadith came with a little bit different wordings here and there, right? But in any case, yani, according to the different narrations of the hadith, the wording is slightly different, same exact meaning. Naam, Muhammad.
مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم مثل الجسد إذا اشتكى منه عضوا داعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحب.
Naam, in some of the narrations, the wording is reversed back and forth, meaning exactly the same. The Prophet ﷺ is saying that the example of the believers, yani, the example of the believers, as a group of people, as a community, is like the example of the body, or one body. They're like one body. Yani all the members, all the parts of the body, they're part of one body. They're part of one another. Yani they share with one another their hopes and their pains, good times and bad times. If any part of the body, as the Shaykh said, even the smallest member of the body, a little pinky finger, if it is in pain, the whole body is feeling that pain. And this is how the believers should be. This is how iman combines, joins, unites the Muslims together so they're like one body. Yani when that body is rested, the whole body rests together. And when any part of the body is in pain, then the whole the rest of the body is also not going to get rest, not going to get sleep. It's going to experience fever or whatever. This is the general meaning of the hadith. Anyway, this is a very important hadith. Its meaning, yani, does require some reflection. It's crystal clear. It's very beautiful how the Prophet by revelation from Allah, Allah inspired him to give us this kind of example that the believers are like a body. Which one of us could have come up with that? The believers are like a body. Really, if you think about the body how it is, it's a lot of parts of the body, but it all is happy together or sad together, is in pain together or at rest together. It's all together. Whatever happens in one part of the body affects the rest of the body. That's the way the believers are supposed to be. As Shaykh Saleh Fawzan, Hafidhullah, said, yani when the people have complete and perfect iman, then that's the way they are. But if we don't feel like that, it's because the defectiveness of our iman. And time, yani, is moving right along. Let's get to the topic for tonight. Very, very important topic. And this topic is a little bit technical, the Shaykh, and he mentioned some very technical points and some details of matters that, yani, if you never heard this topic before, perhaps some of it, might, yani, require real concentration. So please pay attention. If you know the subject, alhamdulillah, yani, then it may be easier. I'm going to try to cover whatever the Shaykh said. He gave a long explanation for this particular point, this one line, with Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, وَيَأْمُرُونَ يَعْنِي أَحْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَاعَةِ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالصَّبْرِ عِنْدَ الْبَلَاءِ وَعَلَى الْبَلَاءِ. Both of them same meaning. وَالشُّكْرِ عِنْدَ رَخَائِ وَالرِّضَى بِمُرِّ الْقَضَاءِ. يعني the أهل السنة والجماعة يَأْمُرُونَ بِالصَّبْرِ, they command themselves and others to be patient at the time when the balad, the trials, the tribulations, tests, yani things that happen to you that are tests for you, to be patient with that. وَالشُّكْرِ عِنْدَ الرَّخَائِ, and to be thankful, grateful, appreciative at the time when you are safe and comfortable and at ease and having what your needs fulfilled, when you're doing well. And these are the two characteristics that are very important that yani we want to compare together, the sabr and ash-shukr. And the third point that he mentions is really يعني expanding on the first point. يعني الصبر يعني عند البلاء he comes back to that point again. He says الرضا being pleased with مر القضاء, the bitterness of what Allah has decreed. This is related to the first point. Okay, so really these are two matters that we want to look at, and the third one is extension of the first. That is al-shukra and al-sabr. Al-sabr and al-shukr, being patient when things don't go the way you want them, and being thankful when Allah gives you His favor and His blessing and His bounty. And this is the crux of the matter. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, amazing is the affair of the believer. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٌ, the whole of his affair is good. And that's because of what? When anything good comes to him, he is shakara. And when harm comes to him, يعني sabara. And this is not so for anyone except for the mu'min that has يعني complete and perfect iman. So this is a topic of great importance, and especially يعني the last part of it, being pleased with مر القضاء, يعني with the bitterness, the pain, the hardships of what Allah has decreed. يعني the things that Allah decreed that we don't like. If Allah decreed that you be rich, that you be wealthy, that you be healthy, that you have all the things that make you comfortable in this world, that's easy to be pleased with that, right? The problem with that is being thankful with it. That's where the trial comes, being thankful for it. But here we're talking about what the things that you didn't like, being pleased with it. Not just patient, but being pleased. This is a higher level than just being patient with the trials that you're subjected to, but rather being pleased with it, or as the Shaykh goes on to say, being thankful for it. Yani when affliction befalls you, you thank Allah, not just in words, but in reality. You're thankful to Allah in your heart. You're actually grateful that Allah has afflicted you with this calamity. This is a tremendous topic. The Shaykh explains it here in some detail, and I hope that we can complete it. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So he says, Shaykh al-Islam al-Taymiyyah says, the Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, this is from the sifat of Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, that they enjoin being patient at times of trials, and being thankful when good comes to you, and being pleased with the bitterness of what Allah has decreed for you. As your Rabb, He decreed it. He knows what's best for us. And He cares about us more than we care about our own selves. The Shaykh says, يَأْمُرُونَ, here they command, it might be said, it could be said, that this statement here, they command with patience, that this word may also include that they command their own selves, not just others. And this is an important point that the Shaykh makes here, because some of us, we are good at commanding others, but what about our own selves? So the Shaykh says, they also command their own selves. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah to Yusuf, 12th Surah, 53rd Ayat, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ, that I am not clearing my own self of blame. Yani I'm also including myself that I may also be to blame, because indeed the nafs commands, yani the lower self sometimes commands the person to do evil. The point the Shaykh is saying here is that the commanding is not just for others, but rather we also have to be ready to command our own selves. Indeed, they also command their own selves, the Shaykh says. Second thing he says, sabr. يعني يأمر بالصبر عند البلاء, they command with patience at the time of tests and trials. And this patience here means تحمل البلاء, يعني bearing patiently the trial. When a trial afflicts you, something bad happens, being patient with it. Don't let it shake you. Don't get upset. Don't start cursing nobody and blaming other people. تحمل, be patient, carry it. Carry it with the help of Allah. وحبس النفس عن التسخط, and restraining yourself from expressing displeasure with what Allah has decreed for you. Allah decreed it. Nothing happens except by the decree of Allah. Who are you upset with? It's your Rabb who decreed this for you. And we said what? رَضِيتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا. The Prophet ﷺ used to say, I'm pleased with Allah as my Rabb. Meaning whatever He decrees, I'm pleased with that. Are we pleased with what Allah has decreed for us? Yeah, when it's good. But what about when a calamity befalls? Affliction, hardship, difficulty. Naam. Habs and nafs, restraining oneself from expressing displeasure, dissatisfaction with what Allah has decreed. Whether by the heart, the tongue, or the limbs of the body. Yani expressing dissatisfaction in the heart, expressing it on the tongue, or expressing it by one's actions. All of this. Yani a person has to restrain themselves from this. Wal-bala, what is meant by al-bala? Yani being patient at the time of bala, the trials. He said al-bala means al-musiba. Yani a calamity, an affliction. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 155 and 156 ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ يعني Allah says, and indeed, certainly, we will test you all with something of fear, hunger, يعني loss of wealth and lives and fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ يعني everybody is going to be tested with some kind of test. But give good news to those who are patient. To those who are patient when these trials afflict them. They are patient, at least being patient. If not, being pleased with it and being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you know what? Yani it will bring about for you of good. Who are those who are patient that get the good news? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ يعني those who when an affliction, a musiba afflicts them, that's a test for them. Allah said, I will test you all. And that, what is the test? يعني a musiba, some calamity befalls you. So when that calamity befalls you, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ Two statements. إِنَّا لِلَّهِ Indeed, we belong to Allah. Meaning what? He owns us, He can do with us whatever He wills. That's what you're saying. When a calamity befalls you, say, Allah owns me, He can do whatever what He wills with me. But then the second statement, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ And I also am going to be patient with this because I know what? I'm going to return to Him for the reward that He has. For those who are patient, بَشِّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ بَشِّرَ الصَّابِرِينَ The reward that is going to be given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to those who are patient when they are afflicted with a calamity and they know that it's from their Rabb and therefore they bear it. He knows what's best for us. So the patience, the Shaykh says, يَكُونُ عِنْدَ الْبَلَىٰ Should be at the time when you are afflicted. Not next week and next month and next year. Yeah, it was okay. No, at the time when it happens. And the best of it and the highest of it is the sabr, the patience, at the time. يعني الصدمة الأولى. يعني صدمة الأولى. يعني at the time when the calamity strikes you. At the moment when it afflicts you. And this is the عنوان الصبر الحقيقي. This is the indication of real patience. That when the affliction afflicted you, you didn't scream and shout and start cussing at people, but you said, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ You said, قَدْرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ Allah has decreed it. And He does whatever He wills. Allah has decreed this. And He does whatever He wills. So what's the problem? Who are you complaining against? Who are we complaining against? And this is as the Prophet ﷺ said to the woman who he passed by her and she was crying over by the grave. And the Prophet ﷺ said to her, Fear Allah and be patient. And she said, Get away from me. You haven't been afflicted with what I have been afflicted with and you don't know what I'm going through. And it was said to her, Indeed, that was the Prophet ﷺ. So she came to the Prophet ﷺ to his house and she didn't find any doorkeepers there. Bawabin. Nobody keeping the door. So she went in. And then she said, to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I didn't know who you were. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الصَّبْرُ عِنْدَ الصَّدْمَةِ الْأُولَى Yani that real patience is at the time when it strikes, not later on. As far as after the matter, yani cools down and you are more at ease, then sabr at this time is easy being patient at that time and nobody will achieve the perfect degree of patience Yani later on, after the fact. Yani it's at the time when it strikes. The Shaykh says, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah يَعْمُرُونَ بِالصَّبْرَ عِنْدَ الْبَلَىٰ They enjoin, command one to be patient at the time of the affliction. And there's no human being except that they are tested. Every human being. Either they are tested in their self, yani in their physical, their own being. Or they are tested, the test afflicts their family. Their wife or their husband or their children or their near relatives, parents or whoever. Or either they will be afflicted in their wealth, loss of wealth or destruction of their wealth or taken of their wealth. Or either they will be afflicted, the affliction will befall their companions, their sahaba, yani their ashab. Or either, or in their land will be afflicted, or the Muslims in general. Yani if you wasn't personally afflicted, look at what's happening in the world, how Muslims are afflicted. If you have iman, that's supposed to affect you. And the Shaykh says, Yani afflictions also come in two divisions. Yani the calamity that befalls you, the test in your deen, and the calamity that befalls you in your dunya, your worldly affairs. And the musiba in the deen is a'azam bi kathir min al-musiba fi dunya min al-dunya. Yani the person who's afflicted in their deen, this is far greater than the affliction in your worldly affairs. Meaning the person who lost all of their money,
or lost their home or their car, or lost whatever, their health, or lost a loved one who died. That's nothing in comparison to the person who was afflicted in their deen, who fell into innovation, deviation, who fell out of Islam. The affliction in deen is far more severe than losing your life, or the life of your loved ones, or your wealth or property. There's no comparison. Yani alhamdulillah that we are not afflicted in our deen, that Allah has guided us to the sunnah. Be thankful to Allah, because other people have been afflicted in their deen. Maybe you just lost some money, you lost a job, but this person lost their deen. Don't we see that? People who have lost their deen? That's the real affliction. That's the real calamity. So Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they are commanding with patience at the time of trials in two matters. Yani the patience, as far as the two matters, meaning in the worldly affairs or in the deen. As far as the patience in the worldly affairs, it is that a person yatahammal al-musiba kama sabaqa. Yani the person bears the calamity, bears it patiently as has been mentioned previously, meaning that they restrain themselves from expressing anger in their heart, on their tongue, or in their limbs, yani in their actions. As far as the patience with the trials and the deen, then this patience, what is required here is different. It is that a person remain firm upon their deen. Yani that they have steadfastness and firmness upon their deen, and that they are not shaken. يَتَزَعْزَعُ عَنْهُ. Yani they are not shaken in their resolve to stay on this path. Yani they are not shaken in their iman, in their beliefs, in their creed. وَلَا يَكُونُ كَمَنْ. And they will not be like those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said concerning them in Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 10th Ayat, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ. That they are some of the people who say, we believe in Allah. فَإِذَا أُوذِيَ فِي اللَّهِ. But when they are punished, tortured, suffered some harm for the sake of Allah, huh? جَعَلَ فِتْنَةَ النَّاسِ كَذَابِ اللَّهِ. Then they made the fitna of the people like the punishment of Allah. This ayah requires explanation. I don't have time to explain in detail now, but the translation, the best of the translations didn't explain the meaning of this ayah. You have to go back to tafsir. Yani, when they are punished, persecuted, tortured for the sake of Allah because they are Muslims, they took ja'ala fitna tannas, the fitna, the trial of the people, meaning the punishment that came from the people, the torture that came from the people, they made that equal to or like the azab of Allah, the punishment of Allah. Meaning that it's the punishment of Allah, knowing that Allah may punish you if you do something wrong, haram, knowing that Allah may punish, that's what stopped you from doing it. Yani it causes you to refrain, to abstain, or to do something that you're commanded to do. It's the punishment of Allah that controls your behavior. So these people, they made the torture of the people torturing them, they made that like the punishment of Allah. So instead of fearing Allah's punishment, they feared the punishment of the people and they obeyed them instead of obeying Allah. So they abandoned their deen, they apostated, they became hypocrites or whatever, and they failed the tests. They failed the test. So he said, and don't be like those people who they said they believe in Allah, but when they were punished, they suffered for something in the sake of Allah, they made this fitna of the people, the punishment of the people, was a trial for them. They made it as equal to the punishment of Allah, and they feared them more than they feared Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di gives a good, yani, a very beautiful explanation of this particular ayat, but yani, for another time. وَيَأْمُرُونَ أَيْ أَحْلِ السُنَّةُ وَالْجَمَاعَةُ. Yani, and they also command with shukra inda al-rakha. Yani, to be thankful at the time when you are doing well, when things are going well, when you have plenty, when you're safe and secure, when you have peace. Yani, to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, just as the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah command people to be patient with trials, they also command the people to be thankful when things are going good. Yani, these are the two sides. That, yani, if a person has these two things, then their whole affair will be good. Their whole life will be good. Because this is all life consists of. Either that which good comes to you, or other than it comes to you. So whatever comes to you, if the good comes, you are thankful. If other than that comes, you are patient. This is the whole of your life. Whoever is thankful and patient, then the whole of their affair is good. And the Prophet ﷺ said, this is not so except for the believer. So they also command the people to be thankful at the times when things are going good. The Shaykh says, Ar-Rakha, yani to be thankful at the time of Rakha, he said, it is Sa'at al-Aish, wal-Amn fil-Watan. Yani he gave two aspects of this. Yani being thankful for what? When you have plenty of provisions in your life, and you also have safety and security in your land. Just imagine if a person has the things that they need and they're also safe and secure. Because what would be the benefit if you have plenty of money but there's no security? You can't step out of your house except somebody will kill you or rape your wife or harm you or your children. No security. And in the lands where there's no security, people are suffering no matter how much wealth they have. And the people who have security but they have no wealth, they also, that's the problem, right? But if a person has these both, be thankful for it. Naam. And I think all of us here, yani, might not have safety, no, not here. But we have some safety, yani, by the permission of Allah. Allah protects the believers. The Shaykh, he says, so the rakha, being thankful at this time, when a person has plenty of life, the things that they need for their life and safety in their place, then this is also something that Ahlul Sunnah Jama'ah command people to be thankful for this. Then the Shaykh asked the question, which of the two of these is ashaqqu, as-sabr ala al-bala or shukra inda al-rakha? What is more difficult? To be patient with trials and tests, or to be thankful for the good, the blessings, the favors of Allah? Which one is more difficult? The Shaykh says the scholars differed concerning this. And some of them said that indeed patience with trials is more difficult. And others said, no, being thankful for the good, that are the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ease and comfort, is more difficult. And the Shaykh says the correct view is that for each one of them, it has its afat and it has its mashaqqa. Yani each one of them, being patient with the trials and being thankful with the yani comfort and ease, both of them have some aspect. Yani afat means yani mufsid, yani something that spoils or corrupts your situation. Both of them, yani being patient with trials, it may mess you up, trying to be patient. Or being thankful, yani when you have good, it may also, you may get messed up, because a lot of people, Allah has given them blessings, they have not been thankful. A lot of people, I should say, a lot of us. And both of these have difficulty. Each side, there's some difficulty and there's some harm that may come from it. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and then he mentions these two ayats, yani as a proof that both of these situations have, yani their difficulty. Both of them have their difficulty. So he mentioned for Surah Hud, 11th surah, 9th and 10th ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا مِنْهُ إِنَّهُ لَيَوْسٌ كَفُورٌ. This is the first side, right? That indeed, Allah is saying, if we had given the human being a rahmah, yani wealth, good health, things that the person wants, that's Allah's rahmah. Now, if we have given the person rahmah, and then we removed it from him, and he had some good, okay, but then it was taken from him, then indeed he is despairing, ungrateful. Yani meaning he's despairing of the future. He doesn't think that maybe Allah may give him back good again. He gives up on the future, khalas. And he's ungrateful, meaning he's not grateful for what he had already. You had something, be at least thankful for that. Both ways. He's despairing of the future and ungrateful for the past. This is the person what who Allah has given something to, but then he took it away. That person is ungrateful and they are in despair. وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَاهُ نَعْمَاءَ بَعْدَ ضَرَّاءٍ مَسَّتْهُ لَيَقُولَنَّ ذَهَبَ السَّيِّئَاتُ عَنِّي إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ. And this is the other side of it, that the person what, if we have given him a taste of the blessings and favors after some harm that afflicted him, yani he was in difficult situation, whatever it was, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him his favor after difficulty, then he will say, yani, a sayyat has left me. Yani, I'm never going to experience that again. I'm good, I'm through with that. As though you have some control of what's going to happen in the future. But he forgot, because the favors of Allah made him forget. Allah is in control of everything. So instead of being thankful, what does he do? He said, إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ. Yani, he is just over happy and boastful and proud and arrogant. He becomes yani so happy with what he has and so proud and arrogant over the rest of the people. Yani happy, pleased with what he has in his hand, forgetting that it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Instead of being thankful to Allah, he's just happy, look what I have. And he's also what? Because he has that, looking down on the other people. Yani proud, arrogant and boastful. These are the two trials of those who are given and those who are yani tried and tested. Both of them, yani many of the people fail except those who have iman. So each one of these, the Shaykh says, might be, its difficulty might be reduced by a tafkir, by reflecting on the situation. If a person reflects, for example, the Shaykh says, the person who's afflicted with a calamity, if he reflects and thinks and remembers that the distress or difficulty or hardship that he is suffering, it will not be repulsed, nor will it be raised up just because of his state of grief or worry or sorrow. It's not going to be removed because of that. So why put yourself through that? Yani somebody who's afflicted with something and they, woe is me, oh look at me, I don't want to go on with life. That doesn't make change anything. That doesn't change anything. There's no real benefit in that. Rather, the person should accept that this is the decree of Allah and at least be patient with it, if not pleased with what your Lord has decreed for you. And the Shaykh says, and the opposite is also true. Yani, so indeed the person should either just be patient, like the patience of the people of nobility. Yani, meaning stand up and be patient. You know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's the one who decreed this. He's the one who yani gave, He's the one who takes, He's the one who afflicts or removes it. Or the person should be like the animals in the land. Yani, whatever happens to them, they just go on with life. They just forget about it. Yani, they don't even pay attention to it. He said either the person should be patient like the people of nobility, or be like the animals who just go on with life and forget about what has yani afflicted them. So in this way, if a person pays attention and reflects on their matter, then the patience yani will become easier for them. And this is the same yani for the person who has comfort and safety and ease. They also, if they reflect upon this, maybe they will be saved from being proud and arrogant over the rest of the people. How with Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah? Yani they're commanded with this and that. Yani with both patience and gratitude. Yani with patience at the time of trials and gratitude at the time of comfort and safety. And here I want to mention the hadith reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih, the hadith that I referred to earlier. I just want to read the hadith of Suhaib radiallahu anhu. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرُ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Amazing is the affair of the believer, the person who has complete and perfect iman. إِنَّ أَمْرُهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ. His, indeed, his affair, the whole of it is khair. It's all good. His whole life is only good. That's all it is. That's for the believer. The Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَيْسَ ذَاكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا الْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is not so for anybody except the believer. And أَصَابَتُهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. Yani if good, happiness and prosperity comes to him, he's thankful. And therefore it's good for him. Whereas if he wasn't thankful, the good, the wealth that you have, that's not good for you if you're not thankful to Allah, because you're going to answer for that. But if good came to him, he's thankful, and therefore that good is good for him. And likewise, in أَصَابَتُهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. And if harm comes to him, he's patient, and therefore it's good for him. Meaning, if you are not patient, it's not good for you. It's harm that came to you, and no benefit whatsoever. But if you're patient, then it's not yani harm to you. Rather, yani, it will be a means of expiation of sins. It will be a means of multiplication of good deeds. It will be a means of raising up your degrees, your station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it will be khair for you. Yani, if you are patient. But only if you are thankful with the good and patient. But otherwise, the Shaykh says, يَعْمُرُونَ أَيْ أَهْلِ السُنَّةِ وَالْجُمَعَةِ. They also command, this is the third matter, that's an extension of the first, بِالرِّضَى بِمُرْ الْقَضَى. Yani being pleased. Not being patient, but being pleased with the bitterness, the painful things that Allah has decreed. وَالرِّضَى عَالًا مِنَ الصَّبْرِ. And being pleased, this is a higher level than just being patient with the trials that you're afflicted with. This is a higher level than just being patient. And the Shaykh goes into some details here about this. Yani, I hope that we can get it. مُرَّ الْقَضَى, yani the bitterness of what Allah has decreed. He said this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees something to before the human being that is not in accord, not in agreement with the nature of the person. Yani something happens that you don't really like. And for this reason it's called al-mur. It's called bitterness because it's something you don't like. And it's something that's not in agreement with your nature. You don't like it like this. You don't like it to be too extremely hot or extremely cold. You don't like to be deprived of sleep or starving without food. You don't like that. So if Allah afflicts you with that, it's bitter. It's not tasty. It's bitter. That's why it's called bitter. Mur al-qadha. So if Allah decrees for a person that which is not in agreement, it's not yani fitting to their nature, something that harms them, this is called mur al-qadha, the bitterness of what Allah has decreed. Because it's not ladheez, it's not halw, yani it's not tasty, it's not sweet, but rather it's mur, it's bitter. Meaning it's painful, it's disliked. So Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah command the people to be pleased, to express pleasure with the bitterness of what Allah has decreed. And know that the mur al-qadha lana fihi nadaran. Here the Shaykh goes into technical detail, and in the end he comes back to it again and gives further detail. But if a person understands this, yani in the affairs of our aqeedah, qadha wal-qadha, it makes a difference in your whole life. If you understand this. Yani we believe this, but do we understand it? The Shaykh says, concerning the bitterness of what Allah has decreed, we have two ways to look at it. Nadaran. We have two perspectives to look at it from, two directions. Al-nadar al-awwal bi-atibarihi fi'lan waqiyan min Allah. The first perspective or the first way to look at it is we look at this, the bitterness of what Allah has decreed, we look at it from the perspective that it is an action. Fi'lan waqiyan min Allah. It is an action that has occurred from Allah. Allah is the one, it's His action that caused this to happen. It's an action of Allah. That's one way to look at it. Yani what? This thing is, Allah did this. Allah is the one who, this is from, this is the, yani what's happening to me is the effect of what Allah has decreed. It's the action of Allah, the decreeing of Allah. That's Allah's action. And this is what occurred. The second way to look at it is bi'atibarihi mafa'ulan lahu. Yani, the second way to look at it, the first way we look at it, this is Allah's action. That's one thing. When you look at this, Allah's action, what can you do except be pleased with Allah's action? What can you say about Allah's action? Huh? But now, the other way to look at it is from the consideration that this is mafa'ulan lahu. Yani, this is the result, the effect of the action of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what resulted. Yani, this is the consequence. This is what occurred as a result of Allah's action. Allah decreed this, and then this thing occurred. Yani, maf'ulan lahu. For those who study Arabic, it's like the in the sentence, the fi'l fa'l maf'ulan bi, right? The fi'l is the action. The fa'l is the one who does the action. And the maf'ulan bi is the thing that the effect of the action fell upon or occurred to. So the effect of that action is what is the sickness that we're experiencing, or poverty, or whatever. The action is the action of Allah. He's the one who did the action. He's the one who decreed this action. He decreed this to happen. And because of his act of decreeing, something happened, and the effect of his action of decreeing is what we are experiencing, whether good or bad. So these are two ways to look at it, from the perspective of Allah and from the perspective of the result of what happened as a result of Allah's action. So we have to look at it two ways. And we have to see it from both perspectives. The Shaykh says, he explains it by saying, so from the perspective of it being an action from Allah, yani Allah's action, then it is obligatory upon us to be pleased with it. From that perspective, we have no choice except we are pleased with Allah's action. Don't say, I'm not pleased with Allah's action. That's, yani, going beyond the bounds. We should not object to our Rabb and what He has decreed for us. Because this is from the completion and the perfection of being pleased with Allah as your Rabb. That you be pleased with whatever He has decreed. Yani, this is from the completion and the perfection of being pleased with Allah as your Rabb. As far from the perspective of it being the maf'ulan lahu, yani the effect that occurs as a result of Allah's action, then it is sunnah to be pleased with it. Meaning it's not obligatory. The meaning here of yasunnu means that it's not obligatory. Yani when you look at it from the perspective of the what happened, the effect that occurred to you, then it is not obligatory that you be pleased with it. It's legislated to be pleased with it. It's good to be pleased with it. But it's not obligatory. Rather, what is obligatory is to be patient with it. Two different things, right? Yani the affliction befell you, it's sunnah. It's mustahab. It's commendable to be pleased with it, knowing that this is the result of your Rabb, his action. But it's not obligatory for you to be pleased with it. What's obligatory is that you have to at least be patient with it, meaning that you restrain yourself from expressing displeasure in your heart, on your tongue, or in your limbs. You refrain and restrain yourself, yarhamukallah, from expressing displeasure. That's obligatory. As far as being pleased with it, if you can do that, this is better. So the sickness, yani the Shaykh gives the example of sickness, from the perspective of it being, yani kaun Allah qadarahu, yani from the perspective of us looking that Allah is the one, this is the action of Allah, that He decreed this to happen, then it's obligatory to be pleased with it. From the perspective of the sickness itself that befell me, then it is better that I be pleased with it, but not obligatory. Rather, it is obligatory to be patient with it. And it is more commendable that I be thankful for it. It is more commendable to be thankful. Yani, the Shaykh is saying what? That being patient, not expressing displeasure with what Allah has decreed, even though you didn't like it, sickness, loss of wealth, health, whatever it might be, yani being patient with it, not expressing displeasure, is obligatory. Being pleased with it is better. And being thankful is even better than that. So it might be said, for this reason we say that the musabun, those who have been afflicted, yani, from the perspective of the masaib, the afflictions that befell them, there are four, yani arba'atu maqamat, yani four levels or stations or positions. Huh? The people who have been afflicted, looking at the afflictions that befell them, there are four positions, four stations that a person may be upon. The first station is sakhat, that a person is displeased with what Allah has decreed for them. The second station is patience, that they restrain from expression displeasure, even though they're feeling it. It's hard, it's bitter, they don't like it, but they restrain themselves from expressing displeasure. The third station is being pleased with it. And the fourth station is being thankful, thanking Allah, alhamdulillah, thank you Allah for giving me this affliction. The Shaykh says, but as for the first level, being displeased with Allah's decree that something afflicted you, it's haram to express displeasure. Rather, it's from the major sins. And this is like the people who, yani, latam al-khad, yani means slapping the cheeks, not the thighs, the cheeks. Or pulling out one's hair, or tearing up one's clothing, or saying, woe to me, or supplicating to Allah to destroy you. Or other than that, from those things, this level of displeasure, it is these kinds of actions or those things that indicate one's displeasure with what Allah had decreed to be for you. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who tears their clothes and strikes their cheeks and calls with the calls of jahiliyyah, they are not from us. Meaning the person who wails and screams and cries and says this dumb stuff that the people in jahiliyyah used to say when they were afflicted with a calamity, these people who do this, they are not from us. The second station is the station of patience. And that is that a person restrain themselves, their heart, their tongue, and their limbs from expressing displeasure. And this is wajib. This is wajib. And the Shaykh said in another place, not here, he said, and this is obligatory, as Allah mentioned in the Quran in many places. From amongst them is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Anfal, the 8th surah, 46th ayat, wasbiru. That's a command. Allah ordered us to be patient. Wasbiru, be patient. Inna Allaha ma'as sabirin. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. The third station is ar-ridha, being pleased. And the fourth station is shukra, being thankful. As far as the third station, the Shaykh says, yani, al-farq baynahu wa bayna sabr. What's the difference between being pleased and being patient? And the person who's patient with the trial and the person who's pleased with it, what's the difference between them? The difference, the Shaykh says, is that the sabr, the person who's patient, the second level, not equal to the person who's pleased, the third level, is this person feels the bitterness. Meaning they take it, they accept it. Yani, they drink it, they eat it, they yani, suffer it. But they are not able to express displeasure. Meaning they feel the bitterness, they experience it, but they don't express displeasure. Except that within the person's self is sab and it's mur, it's difficult for them. And it's distasteful, it's bitter. This is the person who's patient. They experience difficulty, but they don't express displeasure with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيَتَمَثَّلُوا بِقَوْلِ الشَّاعِرِ. And this is represented, this level of patience, the way that this, what they're experiencing, this is represented, or it finds expression in the saying of the poet who said, وَالصَّبْرُ مِثْلُ اسْمِهِ مُرٌّ مَذَاقَتُهُ وَلَكِنْ أَوَاقِبُهُ أَحْلَى مِنَ الْعَسَلِ. I'm not good at poetry. In any case, the meaning of this is, وَالصَّبْرُ, patience, is like its name. Yani, it's like the word that's used for sabr. It's murun madaqatuhu. Yani, its taste is bitter. Being patient, it's bitter. It's not easy. It's not comfortable. It doesn't make you happy. Walakin awaqibuhu. But it's yani, the end result of it is ahla min al asali. It's sweeter than honey. So even though it may not taste good, but if a person is patient, the end result is sweeter than honey. This is the person who's patient. As far as the person who, yani, they're feeling the hard difficulty of it, but they're not expressing displeasure. What is the difference between that one and the radi, the person who's pleased with Allah's decree, is that this person doesn't even taste what they're experiencing as being bitter. They don't taste it as being bitter. In their mouth, it's not bitter. Yani, in their heart, in their soul, it's not bitter. The person who's pleased. That's difficult. That's why it's not obligatory. But it's mustahab. They don't taste the bitterness of it. Bal huwa mutma'inna. That person is at rest. Is comfortable with it. Is yani good. Wa ka'anna hadha shay alladhi asabahu la shay'a. Yani, for that person who's pleased with it, it's as though the thing that afflicted them is nothing at all. Yani, meaning that it's the same to them if they were afflicted or not afflicted. They're good either way. Doesn't make any difference. They don't feel it. That's the person who's pleased with what Allah has decreed of the bitterness of the things that we dislike. The majority of the scholars hold that being pleased with what Allah has decreed, yani the affliction that befell a person, that it is mustahab, meaning it's not obligatory. It's not obligatory. And this is the chosen opinion of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah, and this is what is correct. That being pleased with the calamities that before you, yani, is mustahab, but it's not obligatory. The fourth level is a shukra. Naam, the fourth level is a shukra, and that is huwa an yaqula bi lisanihi wa halihi, that a person says with their tongue and speech and with their hal, their condition, the way they actually are dealing with it, not just on the tongue, but this is the way they really are dealing with it. Their condition is like this, that they are saying alhamdulillah. Yani, on their tongue they're saying alhamdulillah, and also when you see them, you see that they are pleased with Allah. You don't see them yani making frowning, you know, doing this dumb stuff. You see them, that they are really pleased with the decree of their Rabb. This person who is thankful, they see that the musibah for them is a ni'mah. Yani, to them, the musibah, the calamity, is a blessing. That's how they see it. And the Shaykh, he says, lakin this station, a person might say, كيف يكون? How can it be that a person is afflicted with a calamity and they actually are considering the calamity as a ni'mah from Allah? And it's the same way, if Allah gave you $100,000 or $1 million or whatever is a lot to you, you'd be saying, this is a ni'mah from Allah. So when Allah afflicted you with a calamity, that's what you really feeling, like this is a ni'mah from Allah. Shaykh said, how can that be? I might say, how can that be? I don't get that. And the Shaykh says, فَنَقُولُ يَكُونُ لِمَنْ وَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. I think the word here is twisted, وَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ. I think it's قَافَ فَا, it should be فَا قَافَ. وَفَّقَهُ اللَّهُ. So we say that this station of shukra will be for the one who Allah gives tawfiq to. Not everybody can achieve this. You can't just do a lot of push-ups and get in shape and you could do this. This is tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if a person reached that level, Allah has honored them. Naam. And the Shaykh, he says, how do you achieve this? And he mentions three reasons. How a person could really be thankful to Allah, consider the musibah as a ni'mah. The first of them, لَأَنَّهُ إِذَا عَلِمَ أَنَّ هَذِهِ مُصِيبَةٌ كَفَارَةٌ لِلذَّمِّ. Yani if the person knows with certainty that this calamity is going to be expiation for their sins. And the second of them is that أَنَّ هَذِهِ الْمُصِيبَةِ إِذَا صَبْرَ عَلَيْهَا أُثِيبُ. I'm shortening it a little bit just to try to give the whole picture first. The second of them is that the person knows that if they will be patient with the musibah, they will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be given a reward. And the third of them is أَنَّ الصَّبْرِ مِنْ مَقَامَةَ الْعَالِيَةِ عِنْدَ أَرْبَابِ السُّلُوكِ. Yani that being patient, the person who's able to be patient, this is a very high rank or station amongst the people who yani know about the affairs of as-suluk, yani manners, behavior, and stuff like this. Okay, so yani the Shaykh, he says, the first reason why a person will be thankful is because if they know that this musibah, because they know that the musibah will be an expiation of their sins. Yani, would that not make you thankful? Would that not make you thankful? It will make you thankful. It will make you thankful. And also the Shaykh said, وَأَنَّ الْعُقُوبَ عَلَى الذَّنْبِ فِي الدُّنْيَا أَحْوَنْ مِنْ تَأْخِيرَ الْعُقُوبَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. Listen to what the Shaykh said here. And also, because knowing that the punishment in this world for a person's sins, because it would be expiation of your sins. So if you get the punishment in this world, this is much lighter than that the punishment be delayed until the next life, where the punishment is severe. So the Prophet, I'm adding this, yani hadith, yani to support what the Shaykh is saying here, tremendous hadith, yani reported by At-Tirmidhi, Shaykh Al-Albani said that it's Hasan Sahih. On the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما زال البلاء بالمؤمن والمؤمنة في نفسه وولده وماله حتى يلقى الله ما عليه خطيئة. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said ما يزال البلاء بالمؤمن والمؤمنة, that the calamity will continue to afflict the believing man and the believing woman. في نفسه وولده وماله, in his self, in his children, and in his wealth. And what other affliction can you get? Allah afflict you in your being, your children, and in your wealth. And he continuously, the person will be afflicted with trials, the believer, in their self, in their children, in their wealth. حتى يلقى الله وَمَا عَلَيْهِ خَطِيئَةٌ. Until, because of their patience with these calamities that afflicted them, they will meet Allah and they will not have any sin upon them. Naam. And then the Shaykh says, so this musibah, for this person, it became a ni'mah for which they are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Naam. And also another hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi, Shaykh al-Bani in Sahih al-Jami said that it's sahih. Yani hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِعَبْدِهِ الْخَيْرِ عَجَّلَ لَهُ الْأُقُوبَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when Allah intends for his slave khair, he hastens his punishment in this world. And if Allah caused calamities before you, that's the punishment for your sins, expiation for your sins. If Allah wants khair for you, then He hastens your punishment in the dunya. وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ الشَّرَّ. But when Allah intends for His servant evil, أَمْسَكَ عَنْهُ بِذَنْبِهِ حَتَّى يُوَافِيَهُ بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. So He holds back His punishment. Doesn't give it to Him in this world, but He gives it to Him in full. يُوَافِيَهُ. Give him the fullness of his punishment, يَوْمُ قِيَامَةِ. When Allah wants good for you, punish you in this world. When Allah wants evil for you, holds back and gives you the full blast in يَوْمُ قِيَامَةِ. Now, so if Allah afflicted us with a calamity and we know that this affliction is expiation of sins, and that is easier that He punishes us now than in the next life, and that this means that Allah wants good for you, then wouldn't a person then be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the affliction when it befell them? You have to reflect on this. I mean, it's crystal clear. The second reason is that this musibah, if the person is patient, it will be a source of reward for them. And this is based on the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Az-Zumar, 39th Surah, 10th Ayat, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. This is a tremendous, azim ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed, verily, the sabiruna, the patient ones, and only them, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّ الصَّابِرُونَ. This is only for the patient ones that they will be given full, يُوَفَّ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. They will be given their full reward without accounting. Allah will not add it up and give you 10 for this good deed or 700 for this good deed. Rather, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. That means that Allah rewards good deeds with 10 times it, or 700, إِلَى مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ, or as much as Allah wills. That's how it's going to come for the صابرون. بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah is not going to count. Allah is generous. Allah is rich. He's going to give it to you unlimited. If a person knows that being patient gives this kind of reward, wouldn't they then be thankful? So the Shaykh said, فَيَشْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى هَذِهِ النِّعْمَةِ الْمُوجِبَ لِلْأَجْرِ. So they would thank Allah for this musibah, which necessitates this tremendous reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here, yani, is the hadith of Sahih Muslim from Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ يُسِيبَ الْمُؤْمِنِ حَتَّى الشَّوْكَةِ تُصِيبُهُ إِلَّا كَتِبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهَا حَسَنًا. That there is nothing that afflicts the believer, even the prick of a thorn, except that Allah records for you due to that whatever it was that befell you, that musibah. Even if it's the smallest of things, then Allah will record for you hasana, meaning that Allah will increase your deeds. أَوْ حُطَّ عَنْهُ بِهَا قَطِيَةً, or He will erase from you your sins. Yani that whatever afflicts the believer, it will either be a means of yani multiplying their deeds or erasing, expiating their sins. And the Shaykh said the third thing, it is أَنْ الصَّبْرَ مِنَ الْمَقَامَةِ الْعَالِيَةِ عِنْدَ أَرْبَابِ السُّلُوكِ, that being patient is a very high, lofty station amongst the people who know about good manners. And the Shaykh, he said, لَا يَنَالُ إِلَّا بِوْجُودِ أَسْبَابِهِ. And this station, a person cannot achieve it unless the causes that bring it about are present. What are the causes that achieve the high level of patience? Yani being afflicted, being tested, being tried. If you're not afflicted, how can you be patient? So nobody can achieve this high station unless the causes that enable you to achieve it, that is, the afflictions that you have to be patient with, are present. So when those causes are present that enable you to achieve this high station, فَيَشْكُرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى نَيْلِ هَذَا الْمَقَامِ, so the person thanks Allah for achieving this station that they could not have achieved unless Allah had caused them to be afflicted so that they could be patient, so that they could reach this high level. And here is the hadith, also reported in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih from Aisha radiallahu anha. She said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يُصِيبُ الْمُؤْمِنْ شَوْقَةٌ فَمَا فَوْقَهَا, that the believer is not afflicted with any affliction, whether it is the prick of a thorn or what is greater than that, إِلَّا رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ بِهَا دَرَجَةً, except that due to it, Allah will raise that person up. وَحَتَّ عَنْهُ بِهَا خَطِيَةً, and remove that person's sins. So these are the reasons that the Shaykh said that a person could be thankful. And yani, the end of what the Shaykh says here is that it's mentioned yani, that one of the righteous women was afflicted in her finger with some yani, pain or suffering, and she thanked Allah for it. And it was said to her concerning this, yani, why are you thanking Allah? And she said, إِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ أَجْرِهَا أَنْسَتْنِي مَرَارَةَ صَبَرِهَا, that is, the sweetness of the reward that I'm expecting for this made me to forget the bitterness of being patient with it. And the Shaykh says, so Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, may Allah have mercy upon them, they command the people to be patient with the trials and to be thankful at the time of ease and comfort and affluence, and to be pleased with the bitterness of what Allah has decreed. And then the Shaykh says, tatammatun, yani as a supplement to what passed, yani to the earlier topic that he said that there are two ways to look at yani the bitterness of what Allah has decreed. The Shaykh says here, the qada itself, yani the word al-qada, yutlaqu ala ma'nayayn, yani it is used, it is applied to two meanings. Yani al-qada, the qadar of Allah, Allah has decreed something, and we're talking about here being pleased with the bitterness of what Allah has decreed. The Shaykh says, Al-Qadha, Allah decreeing something, it is applied to two meanings. The first of them is the hukm of Allah, Allah's judgment or ruling concerning a matter. That Allah judged or ruled something to be whatever He judged it or ruled it to be. The second of them is the maqdi, the thing that actually occurred as a result of His judgment. Yani this is what the Shaykh mentioned earlier, but here he explained more detail. He said that there are two meanings when we say the qadha of Allah. Yani qadha Allah such and such and so and so. He judged, ruled, decided something to be. Yani there are two meanings. The first meaning is the hukm of Allah Ta'ala, alladhi huwa qada'uhu wa wasfuhu. Yani that which, the hukm of Allah, which is His act of decreeing or deciding or judging or ruling something. Allah's act. Yani the fi'l, as Shaykh mentioned earlier, that it is a fi'l waqi'un min Allah. Yani it's an action that occurred from Allah, Allah's action. This is the first way of looking at it, the hukm of Allah, which is His qada. And it is also His wasf. Yani it is a description of Allah. His ruling, we describe Allah as being the one who decides, who judges, who rules such and such and so and so. فَهَذَا يَجِبُ الرِّضَى بِهِ بِكُلِّ حَالٍ. Yani when we look at it, this meaning of al-qadha, the hukm of Allah, that Allah has ruled, judged, decided something, His action of judging or His description of judging, it is obligatory to be pleased with this in every situation or circumstance. No matter whether we are talking about qada'an diniyan am qada'an qawniyan. لِأَنَّ حُكْمُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَمِنْ تَمَامَ الرِّضَى بِرُبُوبِيَتِهِ. Yani, so the Shaykh is saying here that looking at it from this meaning of qada, that is the hukm of Allah, which He has ruled, and it's His description, it's obligatory to be pleased with it in every situation or circumstance, whether it is the qada diniyan, meaning shara'iyan, the qada, what Allah has legislated, that something is obligatory, haram or whatever, the rulings of Allah, whether it is qada diniyan or qada kawniyan, yani what Allah has decided to occur in the world, when Allah says kun fayakun, He has decided that sickness is going to spread, or war, or disaster, or whatever. Yani whether we're talking about the qada, yani diniyan, shara'iyan, what Allah ruled, yani the judge, I mean the, yani the rulings that Allah made on things, that something is obligatory or haram or whatever, or whether we're talking about the qada kawniyan, what Allah decided to occur in the earth. Whichever one of these we are looking at it, yani the action of Allah in terms of, yani the legal rulings that He made, or in terms of the things that He decided will occur in the universe, kawniyan, then yani it is incumbent that a person yani be pleased with it, because this is the hukm of Allah, and it is from the completion or the perfection of being pleased with His rububiyyah. Then the Shaykh gives an example of both of them. The example of the qada dini or shara'i is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yani His something that He hakama bihi, He ruled that it be such and such, yani qada'uhu bil wujub wa tahrim wal hil, yani that Allah decided that this is obligatory, that this is forbidden, that this is lawful. Huh? This is Allah ruling, yani hakama bihi, He decided that this is obligatory. So an example of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, 17th surah, 23rd ayat, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ. That Allah has ruled that you do not worship anyone except Him. Yani that is haram. That's Allah's ruling concerning worshiping other than Him is haram. That's a hukm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that's Allah's qada dini, the rulings that He made. The example of qada qawni, yani means that Allah commanded that something be. Yani He said to it be, and then it occurred. Whatever it is that He declared, that He decreed to be. Then it happens. It comes into existence. This is called al-qada al-qawni, universal decree. Meaning that what Allah decides, commands to occur in the universe. This is His qada or His command that a person be in comfort or in difficulty, or in affluence, or in poverty, or in righteousness, or in corruption, or life or death. And these are things that Allah declared, decided, commanded to occur in the universe. This is an example of al-qada qawni. an example of this in the Quran, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Saba'ah, yani 34th Surah, 14th ayat, فَلَمَّا قَضَيْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْتِ, yani meaning Sulaiman, when Allah says, and when we decreed death for him, yani meaning Allah declared that death will overcome him at this time. That's Allah's qada qawni. He command that something be and it has to happen. And this may also be called al-irada al-qawniya. If somebody studied this subject before, we know that there's irada qawniya and irada shara'iyya. Yani what Allah wills to happen in terms of what He legislated, that's the first one that we mentioned. And what Allah wills to happen in terms of what He decided is going to happen, it has to happen, whether it's something that He likes or doesn't like. But He decreed that this is going to happen and it has to happen. The Shaykh says, another example of this is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 4th Ayat, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَقَضَيْنَا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ فِي الْكِتَابِ, yani that we have revealed in the book, فِي الْكِتَابِ, concerning Bani Israel, لَتُفْسِدُنَّ فِي الْأَرْضِ, that they will make corruption in the earth, مَرَّتَيْنِ, two times, وَلَتَعَلُنَّ أُلُوًا كَبِيرًا, and that they would rise up in the earth as tyrants, yani arrogant, yani over the rest of the people. Allah declared that this will happen, it has to happen. Whether it's something that Allah likes or is pleased with or not, this is His irada qawniya. And here the Shaykh is saying, this is His qada qawni, yani what He decided to occur in the earth. The second meaning that the Shaykh mentions here is al-mana athani al-maqdi. Yani the first meaning is what Allah's ruling, His judgment, whether it's in the religious rulings that He made, or the things that Allah commanded to occur in the earth. Here, the second way of looking at it is looking at the maqdi, yani the thing that occurred as a result of Allah's hukm, Allah's ruling, declaring, deciding. So what occurred? What is the effect of His ruling? Allah declared something to happen, He commanded something to happen, so then it happened. The thing that happened is called the maqdi. The maqdi. And it is of two types also, the maqdi al-shari and the maqdi al-qawni. Yani maqdi al-shari is in reference to what Allah legislated, and maqdi al-qawni is in reference to what Allah decided to happen, declared, commanded to happen. So the Shaykh says that this maqdi is the second yani meaning of yani al-qada, meaning what the effect, what occurred as a result of Allah's ruling. The first of them is al-maqdi al-shari, and it is obligatory that we be pleased with it. Yani when something occurs, or not occurs, when Allah declared something to, He makes a ruling on something, then that ruling has to be established, yani, in the earth. And we must be pleased with it, and we must accept it, and we must act in accordance with it. Yani it became known to us that this is obligatory, that this is haram, so therefore that which Allah made the ruling on it, that it is obligatory, we must do it. He made the ruling that it is forbidden, we must leave it. He made the ruling that this is halal, we can enjoy it. And the second type is al-maqdi kawni, yani the things that occur in the earth that Allah, from His irada kawni, what he ordered to happen and it must happen. If the Shaykh divided into two parts, if it's from the actions of Allah or from the actions of the human beings, if it's from the actions of Allah that He decided that this thing will occur, that is poverty or sickness or drought or destruction or whatever is like that, then as has preceded, we must be pleased. Yani being pleased with this is sunnah, not wajib, according to the correct opinion. Yani Allah decided that, yani he made a ruling, yani a judgment, a qada, that poverty will exist in this land or war will take place in this land. This is from the action of Allah. So it is sunnah, not wajib, that we be pleased with the fact that Allah decreed this to happen and it occurred as a result of His decree. But if it's from the actions of the human beings, meaning that Allah decreed something to happen, the human being is going to do that thing. So if the human being does it, then the ahkam al-khamsa, the Shaykh says, is applicable to the actions of the human being. When the human being does something by the decree of Allah, if it is something that is wajib, yani like making salat, Allah decreed that this person is going to pray, if the person does that, it's from the things that are wajib, it's wajib to be pleased with it. Yani don't say, a parent can't say, I'm not pleased with my child going to the masjid 5 times a day. That's fanatical. That's wajib. You have to be pleased with it. It's wajib to be pleased with what Allah made wajib. And being pleased with that which Allah made commendable, praiseworthy, it's commendable for you to be pleased with it. And what Allah made mubah, yani permissible, it's permissible for you to be pleased with it. And what Allah made makruh, declared to be makruh, it is makruh, disliked, for you to be pleased with the human being doing that thing that Allah said is disliked. And being pleased with that, yani the human being doing something that Allah made haram, it is haram to be pleased with the person doing the haram. Yani a person did something haram, and you are actually expressing joy over that. That's haram, to be pleased with a person doing something that Allah made haram. So if Allah made something obligatory, we must be pleased with the person who does it. And if Allah made something haram, we must, and it's haram to be pleased with that person doing it. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said. And like I said, yani it's a little bit complicated, some of the matters that the Shaykh discussed in this particular topic. But inshallah, at least for part of it, I have some notes, you know, that I translated some years ago. I'm going to send it to the class, inshallah, concerning part of what the Shaykh discussed here. And I hope that inshallah will be a little bit helpful, especially because the translation that we are using, English translation we're using, doesn't really do justice to this topic. Really, it's not clear. I read through the English translation, it's not clear. Okay, so hopefully inshallah, you will benefit from the notes that we send. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka. Atubu ilayk. Went over time a little bit, but we finished. Barakallahu feekum wa jazakum Allah khair for your patience.